Welcome to our morning show for a Monday as we welcome in guests today. And we have a whole week of stuff to talk about this week. Important community information for you as well. It's our day to talk about the Greater Richland Area Chamber of Commerce. And joining us will be Kat Schmidt, Kat Schmidt Realtor Team, her business member of the chamber. And Evan Ewing is here. We'll talk about him, a public health specialist, and why he is here today as well. Kat, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Good to have you on the air with us today. Tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, I am a realtor, and I'm actually located on Church Street here in town. My brokerage is Keller Williams out of Madison, and I've been doing real estate for this coming May will be 9-year anniversary for me, and I enjoy helping people find homes, sell homes. And one of the things I do is oftentimes people that come to the area that don't know the area, I'll give them an area tour, particularly people that are interviewing for positions with businesses. So I introduce them to the housing market, but as well just the area as a whole.
What are some things that you would show them on a typical tour?
Well, it depends on what they're looking for and how much time we have, because, you know, it can take a lot of time when you drive out in the hills. And you want to try to utilize their time the most we can. But Rockbridge is something that we can get to fairly quickly, and it's very unique, very beautiful for the area. So oftentimes, if I'm showing them any properties that direction, we'll stop and at least walk through, like, the bridge tunnel, and I'll snap a picture so they have a little souvenir of it. So that's one of the things that I'll show them when we're here.
What is the housing market like right now?
Well, should I say crazy? I don't.
That might be a word. That's what I would assume.
It is a word. Yeah. I will say that I'm 9 years in the business, and COVID in 2020 was year three for me in real estate. And I would say every year has been a transition. I've just had to roll with the new thing that just seems like we keep having, and generally in the world as well. However, I will say that my business keeps growing. People always need to buy and sell houses. They're either getting a new job, they're moving here, they're moving away, they're having a baby, they need a bigger house, they're aging, they need something smaller. You know, so it's not a matter where there's no real estate market, nothing going on. It's just sometimes a matter of persisting and being there when people need you.
We always talk about housing shortage as well. We could always use some more buildings, couldn't we?
It's true. And more housing and more affordable housing as well. In fact, one of the things that I did recently, last week I had a closing, and it was the house that the NHS built for more housing. And that actually closed with a new buyer. And that was exciting for them because, you know, that was the whole goal, is to give affordable housing. So there was, when you have a situation like that, there's a grant given, and then the person purchasing has to live in it for 15 years, and then it's a forgivable loan. So that's significant when you're buying, you know, say, a $300,000 house, and you can't afford that, and you get a grant of say $125,000. That's forgivable if you live. That's a big deal, and it really gives a lot of opportunity for people that wouldn't be able to get into a house like that.
That is exciting for NHS and for the community and everything to see.
Well, and for me, it was kind of fun because this lot had been, I had listed it for someone, and they sold it, and then I helped somebody. Then the next buyer thought they were going to build a house, and they found out it was too expensive for them to build. So then they put it back on the market, and then I sold it to NHS, and then eventually a house got on it. So for me, it was fun to watch over a series about 3 years of it pass through a few hands and eventually get a house onto it and somebody that has now purchased it and going to live in it.
That's good news. So why are you a member of the chamber?
Well, I'm on the board of the chamber, so I've been on for 3.5 years, and because of that, I also am a member of the chamber. The benefits are social media presence. I think that in the 3.5 years that I've been on the chamber, I've seen a lot of growth as far as if you go to our website, you can go on and you can easily join and become a member online. You can also find out what's going on. They've got a really quite complete calendar for the chamber. And then as a business, you're getting exposure. They can check to see who's members, and maybe you're looking for a certain type of business. You can go on to the chamber and look for that online as well.
The chamber has an event coming up.
We do. Tomorrow, the 24th?
Yes.
Today, 23rd. Tomorrow, the 24th, 5 to 7 at the Phoenix Center. We're going to have food and drinks, and you can come and renew your membership, or if you've never been on the Chamber of Commerce, you can come and find out more and sign up there that night as well. So just a social time from 5 to 7, and should be a lot of fun. The other event we have coming, can I talk about that?
Sure.
Is the Peep Hunt. Some people giggle and some people look at me like, what is that? So Easter's coming, and you know those little marshmallow peeps that nobody wants to eat, right? I mean, they're cute, but...
they're not good for you.
No, I don't think so.
No.
However, a few years ago, the Chamber of Commerce started doing a peep hunt in the businesses downtown. So it's just a fun way for adults, grandparents, parents to take their small children around to look for the peeps. So you go to the Shopper News and pick up the papers that we have made up with the list of participating businesses, and then you go around and find the businesses, and hopefully the business had decorated their windows for Easter, so then that's extra fun. And then the other little thing is I've added a bingo sheet, so on the bingo card is Easter, little Easter pictures. And then in some of the windows will be the Easter pictures. So if you find them, you can get bingos and then turn in your paper and get prizes for how many bingos or if you get a blackout. It's been a fun thing. We've had good feedback from that. And this year our theme is called Peeps Rock. And I have actually 7 rocks that are painted with little peeps on them, and they will be an extra thing you can look for that'll be on the bingo sheets. So
interesting. So will the rocks be hidden around Richland Center then?
They will be hidden in business windows. So it'll all, and then they're all downtown area, pretty much between Main Street and Church Street, and then like Mill and Seminary in that area there.
Well, for you and all of the chamber members, that's going to be a fun event just to set up and kind of figure out.
Yeah, it's low maintenance, easy. You know, everybody's got busy lives. So, you know, I have to say a lot of the people that are serving on the board put a lot of hours towards providing the Chamber of Commerce and the extra events.
And then, this is going on, so it'll be going on starting right away then?
The peep hunt will start right before Easter, so Thursday the 2nd of April until Sunday the 5th.
Okay. And so just a few days.
We'll have the papers, the bingo cards at the Shopper on Main Street across from the Richland Family Restaurant, and you can pick those up anytime after 5 o'clock on Thursday the 2nd, and then you have to turn them in Sunday night back at the Shopper. And then I gather them and count the bingos and put the names in the drawing, and then people get notified if they're winners.
Hey, you brought this back. It's been successful. I mean, it was fun, I think, last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, we did it last year. The bingo cards were new last year, and people really kind of enjoyed that little extra thing.
Something new from the Greater Richland Area Chamber is I know you've been sponsoring a few other events, including something we're going to talk about here on the air. You found this important to bring this to the community.
Absolutely. Evan's here with us.
Yeah. Right. Let's bring him on. Evan Ewing, public health specialist, to talk about a book that has been out. And we've talked a little bit about it on this program, The Anxious Generation. Good morning. How you doing, Evan?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Phil. I appreciate it. Thanks to the Chamber, too, for sponsoring the event and just allowing me to tag along today. So, myself with Richland County Health and Human Services, Public Health, and the Richland County Children and Family Advocacy Council, also known as RCCFAC, we're teaming up to provide a 4-week educational series called Creating Community Connections. And this is free to attend, and it's aimed for community members, parents, caretakers and youth. And our aim is to provide an opportunity to connect with adults on topics that impact their children, like screen time, anxiety, social connection, while providing an opportunity for youth to attend and engage in a productive screen-free activity each week. So sessions will occur every Monday in April, and each session will be held at a different location, thanks to all of our sites that have agreed to have us. Those sites include the Brewer Public Library for week one, the Richland Community Center for week two, and then the auditorium and the union, which is in the basement of the auditorium, for weeks three and four. So all educational sessions will start at 5:30 and they'll go for an hour. So parents will be with me for the first hour or for an hour while their children are with another adult engaging in a fun screen-free activity. After the first hour, attendees are invited to stay for a free community dinner, which will provide another opportunity to connect with others and build some of that social connection. Big thanks to the Partners for Prevention Coalition for sponsorship of the meals for the event series. Because we're doing the meal, registration is required, and that's a free meal. You can connect with me to register by calling 608-649-5965. But the preferred way to sign up would be by scanning the QR code on our flyer, or you can visit the Richland County Health and Human Services Facebook page, where we've shared the flyer and the registration link as well. So each session is going to focus on a different topic. So the first week is centered on screen time, anxiety, and some actions that you can take as a family. Session two will focus on play and social connection. Session three is focused on the rise of phone-based childhoods and some of the harms associated with that, and really what parents can do. The final fourth session is unique in the sense that we're going to have an expert panel discussion that will provide attendees an opportunity to ask questions to those experts. So as I'm leading the parent sessions, I'm not an expert in child development, so we're really encouraging attendees to think of questions for our panelists during those weekly sessions as well. And that final panel discussion will also explore how we can work together as a community to address these issues too, in addition to just asking the questions of the experts. So for that panel, I think we have a physician confirmed along with a couple staff from CESA 3. They've been providing presentations to school boards on the Anxious Generation book. And I believe some others that we're trying to coordinate to be on that panel include someone from the school district, a youth representative, a parent, and then possibly someone from Health and Human Services as well. So our hope is that parents leave the event series feeling more confident in their ability to support their child's mental health, providing that environment at home that's safe from a digital standpoint, and then ensuring their children are not being harmed by their screen time habits. And then sort of the overarching theme is to just provide an opportunity for people to get connected to other people and other entities in the community. So for youth, it'll just be a fun opportunity to engage with other kiddos in a screen-free activity. And we're just really excited to offer this.
So the kids will be in a different location then? And
correct. Yeah, it'll all be at the same spot, but the kids will go with a different adult to do that activity, and then I'll take the parents and discuss the topics with them.
So you, I know, have been, not to give you, have you, make you do a book report here, but you've been, exploring the Anxious Generation. What is your take on it, Evan?
I think it's really important. Just for some context and information on why we decided to put this on. The book talks, all of the sessions are themed around the book. So I just want to preface, you don't have to have read the book to go to the sessions, but some local and national level data indicate that youth are self-reporting really high levels of anxiety and depression. And that was evident in the last Youth Risk Behavior Survey, or YRBS. So you might have heard of your kids taking that. I think they offer it every other year within the high school. Within the county public health department, our maternal and child health objective this year focuses on adolescent mental health. And then I've talked about it before on the show, but with our community health improvement plan, adult mental health was identified as a priority health issue that our residents face as well. So we thought this would be a great opportunity to collaborate with RCC-FAC and offer this within the community. So like I mentioned, all the sessions are inspired by the book, and that's written, The Anxious Generation book by Jonathan Haidt. But I want to emphasize, you're not required to read the book to attend, and you also don't have to commit to all four sessions to sign up for this. So it's not like you have to go to session one to understand or know the information in session two. So that just wanted to mention that as well. And we're just really grateful for everybody that's involved, and we're hoping to get a lot of people signed up.
From the area, right? Not just Richland Center.
Yeah, you could, if you're interested and you see it and you want to come out, yeah, we'd be happy to have you.
Yeah, and you'll be putting this on. How long does it take each course or each night?
It'll be, if you stay for the dinner, it would probably be around 2 hours, I'm guessing. The actual educational portion will just be an hour, so 5:30 to 6:30. And then if you want to stay for the dinner, then we're estimating it probably would go like an hour after tops. So,
why do you think this is important for our area?
I just think the technology is just advancing so quickly. And I think that for parents, it's important to understand how you can foster a healthy environment at home around these topics. Really trying to equip parents with the knowledge and skills to be able to support their children's mental health. And a lot of that happens in the home, those screen time habits and that sort of thing. So I think back to when I was growing up, it was, you know, turn your kids loose out in the neighborhood and you just go play. And there was, I think, a lot more maybe freedom at that time. And parents put maybe more, they weren't as worried about their kiddos just playing out and having that extra supervision. So we'll talk a little bit about that and kind of how, as a community, we can foster kind of going back to that more play-based childhood. So that's going to be a topic on one of the sessions.
You're still a young guy. I mean, but you were out playing in the streets. How old were you when you had your first cell phone? Do you remember?
I was the smartphone I didn't get until I was a freshman in college.
Okay.
So, but my first cell phone was freshman in high school. So, I think some of the data that I'll share, if I'm remembering it correctly, was, youth in the 1970s, weren't exposed to screens usually until they were 4 years old, and now it's about 4 months old. They're exposed to TV and that sort of thing. So it's definitely something that I think parents should be aware of and equipped. And I'm a parent. I have a almost 3 year old, and it's tough. And you know, it's hard to manage all of that, and things come up, and there's a lot of barriers. So I want to also mention there's no judgment to parents. It's not like a, you know, you come out to this and we're going to, you know, scold you and tell you about how you should, you know, parent your kids with screen time. Cause I think we're all in the same boat and we all encounter different barriers. And so, a big portion of the sessions that I'll be running will have this open discussion opportunity where we can all talk and share our experiences with no judgment. So
moderation is the key for everyone.
Yeah. I think the stat 4 to 6 hours per day, I think, is that threshold where you start to see some of those negative mental health impacts. So, trying to aim for 4 hours or less for kiddos, adults, I think globally it's around 6.5 hours of screen time per day. So a little bit tricky with your job and other things, you know, obviously, technology is going to be a part of that. So it's tough to manage it.
You don't want to put the blame on anyone, but I mean, us as parents and grandparents, we need to be aware as well because they're watching us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you bet, Kat. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I have found that with our work, there's so much that our smartphones, like we have them in our pockets and we use them for directions. We use them for our social media as far as knowing our world around us, but also like marketing for our businesses. Mm-hmm. And I realize, because now I'm a grandmother, and you know, it's really easy to be holding and rocking a baby and they're sleeping or they're drinking a bottle and you're checking your phone and you don't realize the impact. I mean, I'm sure that's probably something you're going to talk about as far as I wonder sometimes like what radiation comes off my phone when I've got it in my hand and inches away from my baby. And, you know, it's hard to set those boundaries even as adults, and you don't even realize, like you said, 4 months old when they're getting introduced to it. Well, like they could be a few days old if you're holding them and have it right there. Mm-hmm. Within inches of their faces. So
yeah, no, for sure. I know one of the tips in the first session that I'll discuss is you know, telling your kids what you're doing on your phone can be beneficial as well. And I know even my daughter will come up if I'm at like our island on my phone, she'll pull up a chair and step up so she can see what I'm looking at. And she's, what are you doing? You know, so it's like, I think being able to have those discussions openly with your kids as well as to why you're on your phone I think when they ask that question, it's kind of like, oh yeah, well, I don't know really why I'm looking at this right now. You know, I probably should be, being more focused on you right now. So it's kind of a, I think it'll be good to have those discussions with parents. And part of that first session too will be, building a family media plan. So there's a great resource. I think it's through the, I don't know if I'm saying this right, American Academy of Pediatrics. I can't remember. It's the specific organization name, but it's credible. And they have an opportunity where you can sort of do it virtually, build this family media plan, and essentially this agreement with your family as to what practices you're going to utilize for screens in your own home. So that'll be something we'll discuss too.
Yeah. Kat brings up a good point, though. A lot of the time when I'm on there, it's something work-related and those kind of things. But there's a difference between that and doom scrolling, as they call it, too, isn't
there?
And
you can roll into that. I think there's those addictions that can be there, and it's really hard to put it down and just say, I'm not going to work anymore. I mean, when our kids were in high school, they had cell phones. However, they always knew they charged in the kitchen, not in their bedrooms. Mm-hmm. I take my phone to my bedroom because, you know, sometimes I have insomnia. So, you know, I'll do some work on it, or I'll just scroll and see if anything's happened since 9 p.m. So it's just habits of trying to break and saying, well, I'll get an alarm clock next to my bed and I'll set my phone out in the office and leave it there until I get up in the morning.
Sure. Or at least across the room or something.
That,
right?
You have to get up, right?
Got to use the alarm, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we're not down on smartphones because, you know, a lot of times, yeah. I mean, they're wonderful, you know, when used right?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's tough for parents too, to balance. Like, you don't want your kid to be like sort of behind on the technology or the, you know, if you think about for future jobs and things like that, but at the same time, trying to promote safety with the device as well. I think the policy in the Richland School District has been helpful, the phone-free policy during the school day. So I think that's reduced some of the instances of like cyberbullying and that kind of thing. So I'm optimistic and hopeful that we'll see that reflected in that YRBS data moving forward, that some of those instances of bullying will decrease, and then hoping to see some self-reported anxiety and depression decrease as well. So I think the parents do play a role, but the community does too, in sort of what's that standard that we're going to set as a community for what's normal and not normal with screens. So I think that panel will be helpful for that too.
I've had a chance to talk to a few of the students at Richland Center High School because it was implemented this school year, but they almost all said, you know, they were like, oh, apprehensive.
Yeah.
And they all kind of think it's a good thing. And they all mentioned that it's noisier in the halls between classes and at the lunchroom. And that's not a bad thing either, I don't think.
Yeah.
They're talking, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's difficult for the schools too, I'm sure, to adapt and, you know, adopt that policy. And I know there's the parents, you know, want to know that their kids are safe during school. And I think there's that communication component as well, that maybe they were concerned about. But yeah, I know when I was in high school, it was like, just leave your phone in your locker, but they couldn't really do any, the phones didn't do anything back then. That was like, you know, I graduated in 2012. So, and we still, smartphones were becoming popular, but I think it was just, you know, just leave it in your locker and go about your day and we're all fine. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, you could text probably or whatever. So.
Yeah. And it wasn't, I know through other work roles, helped out at or presented at schools, and they have like, this would have been back in like 2018, 2019. And they had like one of those square tote containers, and then the kids would have to put their phones in that when they entered the classroom. So I think schools do try to implement some things like that to try to balance out the exposure to screens and their attention to the course material while the teachers are talking. But I think the policy, from what I've heard, has been going well, so that's good.
Good. I have a daughter that's the same age as you, and the advantage we had at going to, when she went to Ithaca, that she had no signal, so it was like,
right.
Yeah, don't have to worry about it.
Natural blocker, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, Gavin, are there conversations about the like security and from like human trafficking standpoint and with AI? Because I know that as a grandparent, you know, we've had a few conversations with our kids now that they have children. The sensitivity of putting your children's faces on social media and some of the dangers that come with that. I don't know if that's a conversation that comes up in the workshops?
Yeah. Not so much. Not anything that I've planned for. I think we're kind of, I guess, maybe a little bit more focused on mental health and anxiety and depression. Okay. But we do have a section in the first session that talks about one of the tips is to talk to your kids about what's real and what's not real on the internet. And so I have a little slide that has a couple side by side, one's AI and one's real. And so to have the parents try to decipher between the AI image and the real image, kind of just more like a fun activity to try to get them to think about that. But I actually think youth are probably more skilled at identifying that than we we are in some cases.
Probably. I bet they are.
But that's something, I guess that's probably the topic that I think of that is most related or would be closely related to that in terms of just educating your kids about what they look at on the internet. But I know I've heard that, and even as a parent too, I don't try not to share pictures of my daughter's face online if my account's public, that kind of thing. So I know that is a concern, but not something that I've research for this, I guess. But yeah, that's a good point.
I was just curious because it has been conversations that have come up in our household. In fact, I had somebody from church yesterday say that in some of my little posts that I make that are more personal with me and my grandkids or my family, she says, and they just go past so fast because I use like a app where it's not just a picture of our family. And I said, well, it's kind of purposeful, and because she says, I keep trying to save it, and it's just too fast. And so, well, you know, there are some concerns with people stealing images of people. And so you like to share about yourself on social media, but you also want to be wise about it.
Yeah. One thing I've seen people do is put like, like a family picture and then put like an emoji over the child's face. So then it's like you still... You can still post it, and you know there's a child there, but then no one could take the picture for anything. So,
yeah,
might help.
Good point. Yeah. We'll come back and talk more about it on the morning show. Evan Ewing, public health specialist, is here. Kat Schmidt as well from Kat Schmidt Realtor Team, and talking about an upcoming chance for you to get a little bit more in depth about this with some community sessions in Richland Center. More coming up on the morning show. I think the sun does us all some good, doesn't it, Evan?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're all kind of coming out of that. If you have that seasonal depression or maybe just feeling a little bit gloomy from all the winter weather, yeah, I think it's sun's out. It's a beautiful day.
In your line of work, you know, we've talked a little bit about anxiety and things like that, but have you seen an increase recently in, you know, some of those related things?
The data that we look at, like the county health rankings and roadmap data, it's not updated that frequently. So one thing we're actually going to be doing is administering a community stress survey coming up here. So something to look for. We'll try to incentivize that, but that's something we're trying to look at as a root cause for poor mental health being reported in that data. So I'm going to be asking some questions of the community related to stress. Stressors, but then also awareness of resources for mental health in the community. So to answer your question, I guess we're going to try to collect some more data on that. The data that we're using for our CHIP was collected in 2022, so we're trying to get some data kind of midway through our implementation. So I'm assuming that people are stressed out. I think we all kind of are. I think if we can identify some of those stressors and coping mechanisms, then we can offer interventions and utilize strategies to address those. So
weather does have a good factor, though. I mean, you know, we're coming out of it. We're looking forward to spring now. Maybe people are getting outside for outdoor activities a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. I think that offers maybe more opportunity for connection as well, which is good for us. I think the stat is 1 in 3 U.S. adults report loneliness or experiencing loneliness. And we're talking about social media and all of that. I think we're connected more virtually now than ever before, but we're still seeing that loneliness being present as well. So when the weather's nice, there's, you know, you think of all those summer fun activities to get out and do. And sometimes it's just fun if you want to meet up with somebody and just go for a walk versus staying indoors and maybe connecting virtually. It's like you can get out and meet face to face and engage that way too.
You've lived elsewhere, and how long have you been in Richland Center, back in Richland Center?
We moved back in the fall of 2023. So a little over 2.5 years now. We were out in Southern California, and we were out there for about 5 years and moved back at the end of 2023.
So the question is, are things different here in terms of some of the things in the cases that you see?
I think, and I didn't work in public health, or I didn't work for local government out there, but I think there's a lot more opportunities for you know, engaging in outdoor activities just because the weather is nicer year round. But I noticed, you know, here a lot of people will connect over food or, you know, going out to eat, that kind of thing, where out there it might be like connecting over, you know, doing something physical outside, that kind of thing. So I know that seasonal depression or those type of things are still an issue, I think, no matter where you're at, just the days are shorter, that kind of thing. But you know, with that weather nice year round, you can get out and do a lot of outdoor stuff all the time, which I personally like a lot. So
definitely is at the time of year, you know, some spring sports activities, track and field getting going and things like that.
Yeah, so it's exciting.
Sure. The book, The Anxious Generation, again, that will be the topic. Those upcoming sessions here in Richland Center will give you the dates and the times again in a little bit. One of the things that I have found interesting is that social media, it tends to harm young women more than it does the young guys. I don't know if you've seen that or if you read about that.
Yeah, I think there's I think it's social media in particular. I think there's that comparison factor. And I think there's also like a fear of missing out on information as well that I think comes from social media versus, I think with boys, it's maybe more like gaming, playing video games. I know with adults, some previous work I'd done in a different role, I was looking at eating disorders among males, but then there's also this, I think it was coined the Desperate Housewives effect. So where women would see the Desperate Housewives on TV and have this negative self-image because they thought that they should be looking like those women. And so I'm speculating that there would be some of that that would happen with social media as well, of seeing this sort of curated image online, and then you might feel bad about yourself from what you see. And I think with males, sometimes that's body dysmorphia with, you know, seeing people that are muscular, and you can't trust everything, I guess, that you see online. So some of that stuff might be fake too. So I think that's where the girls are impacted maybe a little bit more with social media than boys.
Yeah, anymore you wouldn't know if it's the right head on the right body and things like that, right?
Yeah, the AI videos are getting really hard to decipher, and you see it a lot in like transformations of physical or like physique transformations, where you'll see a video that it looks very real and they have this, you know, miraculous transformation, but then at the tail end of that there's a call to action to buy a program or something. So it's like you have to be, you know, a smart consumer of that information as well. And like I mentioned earlier, I think there will be a component in that first session where we'll talk about some of the what's real and what's not real with social media.
Kat, as you hear our conversation, anything you'd like to interject at this time about what we've talked about or the sessions coming up?
Well, I just want to say I'm excited about the sun, because a lot of people do depend on the weather for kind of their mental health. And so it's exciting to have warm weather again, and knowing that spring's coming and trees are going to be starting to bloom. Lots of people getting out, walking, things we don't get to do here in Wisconsin when it's winter, right?
Mm-hmm. And in your business too, and in a lot of businesses, you're going to see a lot more probably foot traffic and, you know, interest in those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, typically people are thinking about moving more when it's spring, summer, and fall, trying to, if they're going to make a move, they want to do it typically between school sessions. However, when people need to move, sometimes it's in wintertime. So I really don't see a large difference between my business during the winter versus summer. However, it does pick up just because of that mentality of people.
And people can get out and check out the Peeps too, you know?
They can check out the Peeps. Easter's coming, and the Chamber has got the event, the Peep Hunt. This year's theme is called Peeps Rock, because we do have some of those painted rocks. Just, you know, Richland Rocks was a big thing during COVID, where people could get out with the kids and look for the rocks in the community. This will be a few rocks that are painted with Peeps on them in business windows downtown. So that event will be the Thursday before Easter, so April 2nd. By 5 o'clock, you'll be able to pick up your forms from the the Shopper on Main Street across from Richland Family Restaurant. And then you can turn them back in Sunday night after of Easter, anytime in between there, really. But that's when the hunt is going on. So a little bit of fun there. If you want to go to the website for the Chamber, that is... what is that? rcchamber.org, rcchamber.org. And if you go there, you'll be able to find out details on the peep hunt. You also can find out about tomorrow's event, which is our membership renewal night. It's Tuesday, the 24th of March, and that will be at the Phoenix Center from 5 to 7. This is a time that if you're a member and you want to renew, doing it tomorrow will be to your advantage because there are chamber bucks for prizes for doing that. Also, if you've never signed up, come. There will be free food and water, drinks, and then you can sign up or find ask questions and find out. And if you can't get there, you can go onto the website, the rcchamber.org, and you can renew online.
That's awesome. New members can come
also
check it out.
Too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I know you do some I guess maybe planning sessions. You know, you've met in other communities where you've kind of done some planning and maybe looked at what some other chambers are doing too.
Right. Well, so I've served on the board for over 3 years, and we started doing a yearly annual meeting where we just kind of look at year past and what have we done? How do we want to revamp that? And in that, we've gone to a lot of times visiting different chambers in other areas to have that annual meeting. And that's been good just to get out and see what other towns are doing as well.
Other events coming up other than in the spring, you know, through the year, or anything else that you'd like to plug today, Kat?
Well, I think that the wine walk, I haven't got details on it yet, but there is going to be a spring wine walk the Friday after Mother's Day. So lots of people come out. It's our biggest event. And, you know, we're one of the benefits of the wine walk is it is also our biggest moneymaker, which we're, you know, not a for-profit. However, we do things for the community. So when we make money off of that, then we can do things like the peep hunt and the prizes and things like that for the businesses. And then we also pay somebody to do our social marketing. So all the businesses that are in our chamber, they get so much promo time for social media as well. So we pay that person.
And you're able to do events like the one that Evan has talked about as well.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a big thing, a good thing for the community. One of the things that you mentioned, Evan, was there's going to be a panel of experts as well. And I think if people are listening to our conversation today, hopefully they're picking up maybe some questions that they could ask this panel.
Yeah, for sure. We're looking to get, we want to have representation from a lot of different sectors for that. So one thing that we're encouraging at the end of every educational session is to have those people in attendance just come up with two questions for the panelists. So if you're listening to this and maybe you can only make it out to that panel discussion, yeah, it might not hurt to think of some questions that you can ask. And we have a physician confirmed and some other people as well. So looking to have some good representation for that.
Again, the dates for the sessions?
Yeah, so the first session is Monday, April 6th at the Brewer Public Library. The second, I guess they're just every Monday in April, starting at 5:30. And then second one's at the Richland Center Community Center. The third is at the Union. And then the final is at the Union or Auditorium as well. So for registration for that, you could call me if you know, prefer to just call and register. It's 608-649-5965. Or if you go to the Richland County Health and Human Services Facebook page, we've shared the flyer there along with the registration link. I just want to reiterate, you don't have to come to all four sessions to sign up. So whatever ones you can make it to, we're happy to have you. And then there's going to be that free meal after each session as well. So they start at 5:30. The education portion goes till 6:30. And then that meal is there to follow just to have some social connection with each other and do that. So April 6th is that first session at the Brewer Public Library. Hoping to see you guys there.
For parents and grandparents and the children, is there an age there that you're looking at?
No, not in particular. We didn't want to have a block on that. So kind of leave it up to the parents' discretion. Obviously, if you have like a child that's under one, you know, we'd probably prefer that you bring them with into the parent session. But kind of leaving it up to them and their discretion for that.
And the children will get some kind of information as well?
Yeah, so they're going to go in with, I think there's going to be a few adults with them, and I think maybe some volunteer adolescents from the Richland School District are helping out with the kid portion as well, but it's going to be a screen-free activity that's led for each of those sessions. So I think with the library, it's going to be a story or a book that's related to screen time. With the community center, it's going to be sort of free play for a portion of it, and then we do have somebody coming in that's going to take the parents and the kiddos together and do sort of like a movement therapy session. So that'll kind of be unique to that session. The third one at the union will be, I believe, arts and crafts in that union space. And then with the fourth session for the kiddos, I think it'll be music focused. So I'm not as well versed on that section because I'm leading the parent portion, but I know we have some fun stuff planned for them too.
Sounds excellent. Thanks a lot for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, and thanks to the chamber as well.
You bet. Evan Ewing, public health specialist, and Kat Schmidt of Kat Schmidt Realtor Team. Good luck to you. We hope it's a good season for you as well.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You bet. And we'll have more coming up tomorrow on The Morning Show.